The following is brought to you by a generous donation from Canoe Place Inn and Cottages. Fine hospitality in Hampton Bays since 1697. More at canoeplace.com.
Because when you think April Fools, sadly, our pictures are the first thing that spring to mind. This is Air Hamptons with Bridget and Bill.
And we have our April Fools edition.
We're talking April. It's all things April, except IRS tax returns.
Yes, we bring that up. We're not going to talk about
that. We're talking about the April Fools. We have Mr. Jack Black.
He's a fool.
From Kung Fu Panda 4.
Yes, the fourth one. The fourth.
Also a podcast maestro and a comedian. He's also a Long Islander, Tom Kelly.
I know, that's great. That's him applauding himself, by the way.
On his own fan club, it's him.
And we have Tom Clavin, our movie maven, talking about movies with April in the title.
There are way too many of them.
So many.
Also, Patrick McLaughlin is...
Oh, my God. I love our peanut audience. Gallery. No, we're not. This is lots
Patrick
of fun.
McLaughlin on foolish real estate deals. And also how I punk him on social media.
Oh, yes.
You know, whenever he sells a house, I congratulate him and then go, you didn't mention the ghosts? And I've done
April
that
Fools.
Three times, and I'm not sure he's even known it until this moment.
And we have, as always, Jim Turner, our one-man band. There he is. He'll do anything for applause.
Don't worry, that audience will quiet down. Yeah. They'll get bored like we do in a few minutes. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. We have a very special first guest. It is we have the hands of Sharon Stone joining us.
What do you mean by that?
We have Jackie Dunphy here, who was a hand model.
Were you really the hands of Sharon Stone?
Jackie, welcome. Well, she's going to talk to us about a really cool whodunit.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like an April Fool's thing because you fool people into thinking you're not the murderer when in fact you are.
Business.
Yes, it's funny business.
Somebody you're going to be. Yeah, it's like that Dateline show with that white-haired guy. Looks like a big Q-tip. What's his name?
Keith.
Yeah.
Keith Morrison.
Everything with him is a question.
It is.
It looked like a radio show, but was it? That should be our slogan.
Is it a radio show or is it a TV show?
And also, a little later on, he is one of the guests at this Whodunit Week.
Hampton's Whodunit.
Author Joe Giacalone.
I don't know. You're looking at me like you're the...
Giacalone.
So,
a couple of
good old Joe.
But this is exciting. We have Jackie Dunphy to talk about Hampton's Whodunit, which is just taking off like wildfire.
Oh, my God. It is so epic. Last year, we had a really good successful. It was our first one, so we're repeating it this year. And we have an incredible lineup. We've just... Tickets are selling at a brisk pace. We're so excited. We're starting off this kickoff cocktail party at the Maidstone Club.
Yeah, that's got a lot of ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
The Maidstone Club.
Maidstone Club, for anyone who doesn't know, is a snooty East Hampton place that...
Golf club. Tennis club.
Right, yeah. Right.
They let only one type of person in for a long
time. Well, they're letting the riffraff in for us.
Apparently.
We're so excited.
So, actually, it looks like a Scooby-Doo mystery house.
There you go.
It is. It's definitely... Haunted.
It's setting the right tone. And then we have panels of, best-selling authors and true crime experts, and even our own mayor, Jerry Larson. He's going to do a panel Saturday morning on the mysteries and murders of the Hamptons from 1950 to the present day.
Oh, wow. That's so exciting.
Yeah, but is there one central whodunit is there a body and everyone discovers it, and then there are...
No, it's a series of panels.
See, that's what I thought it was when I first heard about it, that it was like a murder mystery dinner.
Right.
It isn't. It's 3 or 4 days for real true crime
enthusiasts and fiction, mystery fiction enthusiasts.
Right.
And not only on top of the panels, we are having a wine and crime night. So you become a rookie detective to try to solve a true cold case with the detectives and crime specialists.
And you have a forensic person?
Oh,
my lord.
This is like the coolest thing. Totally. The forensics world, we're having a crime scene challenge at the Sea Spray Cottages, which no one has been able to get into because the billionaires rent them every summer.
I remember
owned by the village.
My husband used... I told Jackie before we started, my husband used to have a poker night there. I mean, when it was like really kind of dumpy back in the 80s and 90s.
Lore, this place. It's right next to Main Beach in East Hampton.
There was a stabbing there.
Really?
The place burnt down. We don't know why. I mean, it's got a lot of history behind it. And forensics, we're using that as the scene. There's going to be a gravesite dig. We're going to have DNA. You really are a detective. You become
could
the detective.
Could we solve something and send somebody to jail at this thing?
Totally.
We
That's
could?
What it's all about.
Oh, it's like a
You're
Matlock.
Or top
like,
guy.
Or like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo. Yeah. Yeah. So we have
There's
such an incredible.
There's also something called a deadly dinner. Is my wife cooking that?
Very funny.
Yeah, the deadly dinner. We're having that at the new Kumiso restaurant, which mm-hmm. is that Japanese restaurant. And you are going to have lunch with what do they call them? They call them the detectives. There's also who are the guys that carve up the bodies after a...
Medical examiners.
Medical examiner, yes, thank you.
Remember the Quincy show with Jack Klugman?
Of course I do.
The best gag in that whole show was he went to this bar restaurant every week, but he parked the coroner in front of the restaurant. And the guy who owned the place, can you just park around the corner?
And my son, and by the time this airs, he may have the job. My son has applied as a medical examiner for Manhattan.
So awesome.
Because he has his master's in forensic entomology. We were talking about that.
That's amazing. Yeah. So we want to do a big shout out to
LaCroix.
We wanted to do a big shout out to the East Hampton Historical Society who are letting us use them in the Moran House for some of the panels.
Thomas
the East
Moran
Hampton
House.
Library is also doing two escape rooms for us, which is for free.
I have to tell you, and I'm not trying to make this the Bridget show, but my other child, Georgia, is an enigmatologist. She designs puzzles and escape rooms for Jane Street.
She's going to come out, both of
She's
your
in
children.
LA.
So the whole town is like
She's
this
in LA,
unruly
the others in Hawaii.
Mob that takes over.
Yeah, it's a year. It's
mystery
awesome.
Fans. Well, you started it last year with the expectation of about 150 people coming, and how many came?
Oh, my gosh, 650.
So it was a huge success
from
the beginning. Yeah. And now, this year, you're almost sold out of tickets?
We're almost sold out. We still have some left, but we really anticipate, you know, like at least double, maybe triple what arrives.
So as many as 2,000 students will be running around like
this. You know what's amazing? It's for the village. Our mission statement is education and for the village. This drives people in the off season. Mm-hmm. The hotels are giving everybody a cut rate price, you know, to stay. The restaurants are giving deals, and the Hedges Inn is going to be our hub for this. We're having podcasts there. That's where you go to check in.
And Hugh King is still doing a tour,
Hugh
right?
Hugh King has two graveyard tours Friday and Saturday.
Is
those
the Hedges
are
renamed the Bates Motel by any chance?
Totally, yeah.
But I want to.
They've got those little peak holes.
I want to ask how did you get interested in this? Have you always been a huge mystery fan?
I always have been. And Carrie Doyle, who's a fiction author for young adults, and Pam Mallory, who is the mother of Dan Mallory, who also writes fiction, they went to an Icelandic noir, which is a festival in Iceland, and they got together and said, we should do this in the Hamptons. So being friends of theirs, I was roped in, gladly so, and it's just been so much fun. I think we're having more fun than the people that come.
That's amazing.
Do you watch Dateline, and we're
I
making
do.
Fun of it,
I
all
am
of those crime
a junkie.
Shows,
I'm a crime junkie.
Right.
I listen to podcasts. Yeah. I watch the shows.
Spoiler alert, it's always the husband.
Yeah. Could be the mayor. Sometimes. You never know.
Now, I want to ask you about this hands thing.
Oh, yes.
Tell me about the hands of Sharon.
Well, I used to be a hand model.
You do have beautiful hands.
Wow. Thank you. And in the movie Casino, I was her, you know, the person that was palming the chips and sticking them in the purse, cheating them, you know, stealing them.
Right.
They had a croupier come up from Atlantic City to teach me how to palm chips.
Okay. What is wrong with Sharon Stone's hands that she couldn't do that herself? Are they hairy? What's the... Does she have hobbit hands?
Close and personal with them, honestly, but I guess so.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the other thing, honestly, and I'm not defending her, she may have beautiful hands, is that that's a lot of what they call pickup work. And, like, if you don't have to do that, you get that day off.
They palm it off, no pun intended.
Good one, Jackie.
Here all week. What's the website for Whodunit?
HamptonsWhoDoneIt.org.
Okay.
The whole schedule's up there, all of our guests of honors, the authors and true crime experts.
And can people do things a la carte, like just sign up to do one thing, or do they buy the
tickets themselves are on a daily basis or a whole weekend, and then the extra events events are separate tickets.
One of the panel members is the author of something called The Criminal Investigative Function. He is, how did I misspell his or mispronounce
it? Joe Giacalone.
Joe Giacalone. And we had the chance to talk to him the other day. I asked him what he's looking forward to about the weekend and why people are so hooked on this new category. Take a listen.
The Hamptons Who've Done It True Crime and Fiction Festival is a great opportunity for people who really want to get and talk to the guests. It's very intimate. It's a close-knit group of people. You can ask questions. You can talk to the guests anytime you want. You run into them on the street. You can run into them in the coffee shop. You can just see them anywhere, and we're more than glad to sit and talk with you or answer your questions and what have you. It's a really great opportunity for both the guest speakers and the people who are coming to watch. I think the toughest thing that people are now dealing with in the true crime world are the crimes against children. And we just went through a major case from up in New Hampshire that you were dealing with. And on Long Island itself, you had the Valva case where this young boy was basically abused and tortured for, you know, the remaining parts of his life. And it's just something that it is very difficult to deal with on different levels. And, you know, there are issues that we have to deal with in the general public. You know, we need to expect not only law enforcement, but the child protective services. We need to get them to do better jobs and ensure that this never happens again.
The Hampton Whodunit Weekend is from April 11th to the 14th. Some mystery music, Mr. Turner? A little something mysterious? Yeah. Yeah, the mystery there is I have no idea what it is.
I love the mystery face.
Hey, the voice you're hearing is Mr. Tom Kelly. He is a stand-up comedian. He also is a Long Island native. Are you a Dateline and crime fan?
I used to work at Dateline when it was a news show.
No kidding.
Yeah, I worked on it around Columbine. And I'm rooting for everybody who's still there. That said, I watch it before bed, and then I have nightmares that I've been falsely accused of a crime.
Wait a minute. Did you ever meet Keith Morrison?
I think I have. Yeah.
Isn't that memorable? Yeah. What was it? Yeah, okay. So.
No, the correspondent that I liked was a guy, Mike Taibbi, whose son is Matt Taibbi, who writes for Rolling Stone. And then I met Stone Phillips. And
you have to put money in the name drop jar.
For a woman who's dropped so many names today.
You
know what I love? You have the name drop jar so you could buy another house in friggin' Costa Rica.
I totally could with my name dropping.
I had the pleasure of working with Tom at the Main Prospect Comedy Room in the summers. But he has probably the toughest job in comedy, and that's the warm-up. He's warmed up The View, The $100,000 Pyramid, Good Morning America.
You're the fluffer.
Good Morning America.
Yeah.
Well, Good Morning America was and it's funny, and now just to completely promote myself to all the wait, don't tell me people who have accidentally listened to this show because of the great lead-in you have, I have a podcast, The Tom Kelly Show, which is about how my huge career warming up TV shows kind of fell apart with the pandemic because fewer shows have audiences. And it's about me being a man of a certain age, getting back to the fun. And one of the things, I love the career I had. You know, Good Morning America was the hardest yet not hardest warm-up job you could have with an audience. They used to have an audience from their 7 to 8 o'clock hour. I still do warm-up for their huge
outside?
Concerts.
Would you be outside with the
So they had an so and it's funny how, gosh, it's not that memorable anymore. they had so if you look at Good Morning America's Times Square Studios, it's two floors.
Right.
They would do serious news downstairs and then do the fun news upstairs, and they would bounce between the two studios. And I would be with the upstairs audience, and it was really an audience of, I think, 104 people.
I was going to say, it looked like a jury.
It wasn't, and that's what made it fun. It was intimate. It was just real people who just, from all around the world, who wanted to see their favorite morning stars. Wow. And so there, the trick was to be funny, but not too edgy that you would freak anybody out.
Like, Did you have to keep them entertained? During the segment, it was
really get them energized from 7:30 to 8:00, And then it was keep the ball rolling from 8 to 9, if that makes sense. Then you sort of become the tour guide. Once the celebrities get upstairs, you're just fluffing during the commercials. And I hate the word fluffing, but it is like fluffing a pillow, and then there's a more derogatory word for it.
Yeah.
But it really is. It's just like, all right, look, there's Jennifer Aniston. Oh, look, there's Michael Strahan.
Right.
Hey, there's Robin Roberts. And, look who's here. And well, what's in that
let's
energy.
Jump into the present time, because this is all very interesting. I haven't watched, but he's like Keith Morrison. I have no idea. I haven't had television in 20 years.
Says a woman who hosts a show on NPR.
I hate myself.
The hypocrisy.
I only do things that will make me hate
myself. Oh my God,
more.
This is a multi.
But I want to ask you about what you're doing now and about.
So
the
I'm
podcast.
Podcasting, and that's what NPR is.
But everybody podcasts. How does your podcast? Because I know you have.
How does mine stand out? It absolutely doesn't. it doesn't. But I'll say this. Neither does your radio show, but mine costs less to produce.
And yours costs less, and you have 10 million. No, but how did you? Okay, but thing is, you went viral. You have like 10 million.
Oh, I have a bunch of things that have gone viral. Here's the thing with media now. The clips are better than the whole. Isn't that just the way we're consuming media now? You guys, and I don't mean to even make fun of you. You guys have a thoughtful show with a huge crew of people. You have a live musical guest. There's a director and a control room. Folks, if you're listening to this, there are video cameras all around me, and the hosts are wearing coordinated outfits, okay? And then for all the energy that has gone into this, what is this, a one-hour show?
Yes.
Okay, or feels
minutes.
Like it, whatever. For all the work that goes into it, honestly, a 15-second clip on my Instagram may go well. Me ranting, Tom Kelly tells off NPR hosts, will go viral.
Oh, wow.
And I've gone...
Do it.
That's if this ever airs.
Oh, yeah, but please, it's NPR. No one will notice if it doesn't. But being real, we are in this world now of we're just eating at a buffet table of media, and my show is about me getting back to having fun. Honestly, it was depressing during the pandemic.
Right.
It was, oh my God, I lost my job. Oh my God, I lost this. And then I just kind of had this realization of none of my friends were calling me back. So who the hell's going to listen to my podcast?
Right, right.
And I just had this voice of reason of just get back to the fun. So it's amazing how little clips of things I've talked about are starting to go viral. First, related to your whole worldwide audiences, I have a great bit on relationships that went viral, on relationship trap questions. We could talk about that in a second. The other one I've gone viral on is I'm willing to make fun of my hometown of Massapequa, Long Island.
That's shooting fish in a barrel.
Oh, it is and it isn't. Listen, you know, it's funny. You just had the hand model who does the crime stuff on, Jackie, the Long Island serial killer.
Yeah.
Being found in Massapequa, Long Island is the best thing that's happened to my career since the pandemic. Thank you. Listen, and whether he's alleged, by the way. What's that?
I don't see the humor in it, but I'm sure.
The humor is really in a few things.
Are they proud of it that they've?
No, everybody's ashamed.
What is this, the Gilgo
Beach guy? I'm from a town of moderately wealthy, decent human beings who are ashamed of it, and this was all happening around them.
Yeah, yeah.
And me as an outsider who can't afford to buy into that town and is really just waiting for his parents to kick the bucket to inherit. Or the podcast to take off.
Yeah, one or the other.
I love being the outsider / insider sort of making fun of it. And it's a very, like everyone's walking around like, we're so surprised. How could this have happened? Like there's always three neighbors when you find a serial killer in your town.
Right.
There's the person who won't talk to the cops.
Right.
Then there's the person who's like, I didn't know anything. And then there's the person who said, I never liked that guy. He never took his trash out. He was a douchebag. He was awful. And it's fun, you know, and then as an outsider making fun of it.
Next door to that guy?
No, but I'll tell you this. And honestly, I want to keep using the phrase alleged serial killer because I think there's a good chance this person does not get convicted. But if you went to the block and you had to pick who would be accused of being a serial killer, that's the house.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I saw the house.
Total
serial
killer.
How could they
house.
Not have known that?
Yeah. And everyone's all like, we didn't know. He seemed like a nice person. Saw him at the bus stop. You know, no, you knew something.
Yeah, that was, definitely.
You knew something. So, yeah, for but anyway, sure. My willingness to make fun of a holy place.
Yeah.
I mean, Massapequa, if that's really holy.
You're in the Hamptons,
bro. No, but I've decided the other thing is hyper local comedy, man.
Yeah.
You know, do we have News 12 out here?
You can be hyper.
I'm hyper now, yes.
Patrick McLaughlin is applauding for News 12.
News 12, that's right, because, you know, News 12 is local as the local news gets.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm even localer.
Localer.
That's than good. Local news gets.
Even localer.
Take that, News 12.
Yeah,
take that,
totally.
Rich Hoffman doing the
there
weather.
You go.
Your block.
Yeah.
No, like, it's funny. And it's just funny.
We're broadcasting from your basement.
No, but we talk about where my career has gone. I used to hang out with Ginger Z and Sam Champion, who would do the news on Sam Channel Champion. 7, WABC and ABC. And now I'm just desperate to get Rich Hoffman, the weatherman on News 12, to double like a post.
That's
it.
That's fantastic.
It. And you're here. And we
and honestly, this is a big break, man. I'm excited and thoughtful that you had me here. But but I am famous, just to be clear.
Yes, I
am famous south of the Southern State Parkway,
east
of Route 135, okay. And west of Route 110, down to the water, baby.
Okay,
down to the water.
How different is your act than 10 years ago? Did you have to change anything?
So I find that every day I don't make money in politically correct TV, I get a little bit edgier. So to be honest with you, 4 years ago, I never would have made fun of the Long Island serial killer being from my town.
Right, right.
And honestly, I think that's when you get into where... I don't even know, as a white man, am I allowed to say the word woke? But when we talk about this age of political correctness, I believe comedy should try to do better.
Right.
We're in an age right now that we're in an age now where if I had said that in the wrong spot, I'd be afraid of people writing letters to ruin my career.
Right.
And so now that I'm not making money and there's less to take away from me, I'm performing with less fear.
Oh,
but
good.
Are you worried about comedy being in jeopardy in general?
Comedy is in. So, yes, comedy, the beautiful thing about the world getting more fragmented is, I think the way, yeah, comedy is destroyed in a way that we can't all make universal jokes and watch them together. But what you're seeing now is everybody's performing in their own closet.
Mm.
You know, so like Shane Gillis is the perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
Shane Gillis was canceled for being on a show not on like this, making one or two awful noises that he that he should not have made and should have known better at that point not
like
to do.
Like 5 or 6 years before he was hired on SNL.
Whatever it was, being fair, I knew better at that year. He should have too.
Yeah.
I mean, but now, was that enough to destroy his life? We could debate that later.
Mm-hmm.
But what Shane Gillis did was he said, all right, I'm going to go keep performing somewhere else, and built up his own following. Then SNL begged to have him back.
Right, right. So you can do that.
And I think what you're seeing now is, I think you're going to see now, instead of people performing jokes for the whole world, you're going to see the LIW crowd go to their show.
Yeah, like bespoke comedy, curated comedy.
We're all going to live in our own little bubbles, and we're going to wonder why we don't get along.
And if you want to know what's going on in Tom Kelly's bubble, this podcast is available where?
At TomKellyShow.com is the blanket. Tom Kelly Show on Spotify. Tom Kelly Show on Apple Podcast. Tom Kelly Show on YouTube if you want to look at me.
We get it. You're everywhere.
If you're single, I'm Tom Kelly Show on Match.com. Tom Kelly Show on Instagram. For most of you guys here who listen to NPR, you could just write me Tom Kelly Show, care of Bill McCurdy at Bill McCuddy, McCurdy.
It's funnier with the wrong.
Yeah, I'm Bill McCurdy. It's so much fun to say.
It's like giving the wrong number, like changing a digit.
And there you go. I'm also Tom Kelly Show on Black People Meet, but I'm catfishing there.
Okay. Well, listen, Tom, it's been great having you. Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Do I get an outro? Does the band play me out?
Yes. Play him out, Jim.
A little something funny. And April Foolsy. The energy. He brought us all up.
It's amazing.
This is wait, don't tell me, if the hosts weren't as smart and it was recorded in a large aluminum building next to a pod storage facility. And we call it Air Hamptons with Bridget and Bill.
Which one are you?
I don't know.
I don't know anymore. I don't even care anymore.
Do you have a pod?
Do I have a pod?
Yeah,
of course.
One of those storage units?
Yeah.
I didn't mean to give them a shout out.
I have peas in a pod.
No.
Okay. I have coffee pods at my house.
Oh, coffee pods.
Hey, Patrick McLaughlin's back.
Yes, he is. Yay. Hampton's chatter.
I love following the comedian.
You had Tom Kelly open for you.
Thank you, Jim Turner.
That's amazing.
Tom Kelly opened for me?
That's right. There you go. He's your fluffer.
You know what? He reminded me of a great article, and I can't find it anywhere. I tried Googling it right now. It was called Long Island, the Dark Continent, and it was about all the, it was in the New York Times Magazine section, probably about 15, 20 years ago. about why all these weird things happened in Long Island. And one of the things was they found like this ritual site somewhere, probably in Massapequa. Just but anyway, they had a pentagram and they wrote Satan lives, but unfortunately in Long Island they misspelled it. So that says it's like they wrote Satin lives.
Satin lives.
But then again,
it does that.
It's a great article.
It does that.
Slogan. Yeah,
yes.
There you go. But the funniest thing about the whole article was like why do so many weird things happen on Long Island? And they went to LIPA and they say, some people say it's the high tension wires. And LIPA said, no, it's the groundwater. And then they went to the water company and they're like, no, it's the high tension wires.
Well, let's not forget the many toxic plumes. I mean, I know that's not going to help your real estate business, but.
No, but that's what. That's
and the
why,
nitrogen runoff.
But by the way, that's why a lot of towns have town water out here because of. Well, there is an area, and I'm not going to say which area. Well, actually, yeah, in the Northwest Woods.
Yeah.
They had to put town water in because there was a meth lab up there.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
They discovered
my
secondary business.
Made it convenient.
Jim Lawler's laughing, but he knows.
Are you going to be part of the Whodunit Weekend?
Yeah, the Hamden. Why? Because this show's killing my career?
you can be
my real estate career.
You know, like the beginning of Law and Order, we could stumble upon
ka-chong.
You could be the Kevin Costner ka-chong. From The Big Chill, where he's just the body and you never see his face, right?
But actually, there's a little demo reel for the Hamptons Whodunit Festival, and you see someone with their hand sticking out underneath the sheet. That's me. Anyway.
Is it really?
Yeah.
You really are the Kevin Costner of Hamptons Whodunit.
You're the
That's so funny.
Yeah, but Jackie, she brought me into the Hamptons Whodunit. It's a really cool thing. It's really cool.
So what else is going on?
Yeah, what weird is happening in April in the Hamptons?
Well, I was sort of surprised to hear, Kmart's leaving in Bridgehampton.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. And it's going to be.
I mean, I don't know why I'm sad about that, but it is?
It's down to one aisle.
I mean, well, they have nothing in this. But I was weird. I think it's kind of weird that they have the pleasure chest moving in there.
No, they don't.
No, they do pleasure. Not.
Yeah, it's the pleasure chest.
What's the pleasure? I mean, that's an adult. Is that?
April Fool's.
Do you like how I pretended that I've never heard of the pleasure chest?
I thought that was good. Yeah, April Fool's.
Don't you think I did a good job pretending I'd never heard of it?
You can't follow the comedian.
No, I can't.
Are we finally going to get a Target or a?
Is Kmart really moving out?
You know what? I've heard rumors they are moving out. Rumors. I did the air quotes.
Yeah, I know. No one can see you, except on LTV.
On LTV.
Once again, no one can see
you. But we should talk about LTV, because we have this thing. We can talk about the Hamptons.
Oh, yeah. So you're doing like a panel, like a roundtable thing?
It happened already,
but it's airing on LTV, I think. Jody, are we still airing on LTV? Yeah, we're still airing on LTV. And it's on their YouTube site.
We've
got to
start rehearsing this show. It's just like things we tell
why? It's so much more fun when it's a train wreck.
It is. No, but tell us about this. Tell us about the Hamptons.
Well, listen, there's so many different, all the different towns out here have different regulations, but basically everybody now requires you register your rental if you want to rent your house,
right.
Short-term, long-term, whatever you want to do. And the bottom line is if you don't register with these towns and there's any sort of litigation or trouble with your tenant, you're SOL, as they say, if you don't have a permit. So if you want, people can contact me. You know how to do it. Just Google my name.
Right.
And I'll send you this Hampton Seasonal Use like rental guide. But we also had someone there. You have to make sure your insurance company knows because anything like you have to alert your insurance brokers.
And isn't it also, I'm sorry to get off the subject, but that reminds me, isn't it something now where you have to get a COI for anything that you might have done or even the previous tenants? Previous
Center
owners.
Center of Influence?
No.
Certificate of Occupancy,
CO. What did I say?
Bridget, you stay in your lane, Missy.
Oh, no, you know why? My husband needs COIs when he goes into buildings. That's why I'm thinking of it. But you need to
get... I call it Center of Influence.
Okay, that too. But you need to get that. If you're going to sell your house, you need to have everything
updated. CO. It depends upon which town,
permitted.
But yeah, everyone's requiring
in East Hampton
CO's,
now,
yeah.
Right?
So it's...
Well, that's a big deal.
It's a big deal, but it's good for the public. It keeps everybody safe. It keeps everybody happy. It's a little bit of a headache, but you know what? There are guidelines. It's not impossible to do.
Right.
But make sure you and also when they talk about leases, one of the big things we got out of this, granted, we had a panel with three lawyers on it, and they said, get a lawyer involved. I'm like, of course they did.
But, of course.
But seriously, make sure the lease works in your favor.
Right.
If I understand all this correctly, there was no standard rule there was no Hoyle book of rental, and now there is.
There is.
You guys have put together.
There is. And it's the Hampton Seasonal Use Rental Guide from Douglas Elliman.
Look at
we
that.
Used to, oh, God, my hair's all a mess.
No, it looks fabulous.
Oh, thanks.
You're on radio.
I don't sponsor the show anymore, so is it okay if I mention Douglas? Douglas Elliman and Patrick McLaughlin.
Sure, why not?
Wow.
How much did you pay those guys?
Like Tom Kelly.
Oh, man. I don't have a podcast. I have a blog.
Yeah, you do. Hampton's
You're the
Chatter.
Only in the country without a. Yes, Hampton's
without a podcast.
Hamptonschatter.net.
Yeah.
And do you, is there any cool gossip going on from there?
Some restaurant shuffling. I hear they finally have someone to move into.
The VFW?
Yes.
In Sag Harbor.
I heard it's Red Hook Brewery. I don't
know really?
That
there's going to be a brewery?
Yeah, but they're a restaurant kind
right,
of
right,
thing.
Right, right,
yeah,
right.
It's like, it's not really. What else is
a chain of some kind out?
It's a city thing. It's like that.
Yeah, Red Hook.
Everybody from the cities, you know, you have Bill Bouquet, you have St. Ambrose. It's all these city people.
Right,
very
right.
Fancy city people. Huh. Coming out here.
Yes, absolutely.
But anyway.
You're used to that. You rent to them too.
Yeah, I do. I like city fancy people.
They come and buy houses.
Especially when their check clears.
Yeah. Yes,
yay. We're going to have a robust summer for renting.
You know what? It's
kind of.
You know what? So far, it's looking so good. Knockwood. Is this piano real wood?
I don't know.
Yeah, Knockwood. It's looking good this year. So,
it is good. Because last year was kind of a bust, but this year it's kind of bouncing back a little bit.
Yeah, it is. But historically, whenever we've gone into a presidential election year.
Yeah.
The real estate market seizes up about two or three months before the
waiting
election.
To see
right.
What
see what happens and everything. So
yeah.
You're going to see a lot of people like,
yeah.
trying to get things done now.
Right, right, right.
But so, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
You know? So sales will be sluggish this summer.
They'll be sluggish towards the end of the summer as we
and
approach
election. Also because we have a very high interest rate at this point.
They keep saying they're going to come down in June, so let's hoping that's.
You know what a lot of
bit.
Sellers are doing?
What?
They're holding the paper. You know what that means?
Yes, they're owner financing.
Yeah, they're
correct.
Financing.
A lot. That's actually you never heard
I've
about
bought
that.
More,
a few years
I've bought
ago.
And sold more houses than you'll ever see, Bill McCuddy.
Okay, CEO of
and
COI. Well, that means certificate of insurance. It's what you need to go into a building if you're bringing something in, like a big piece of artwork.
They're buying down points.
Yeah.
You know, sellers are buying down points for buyers on their mortgages. So that's another thing.
How does a seller tell the bank you're going to take less interest for 30 years when they go
do I look like a mortgage broker
no but I mean how does this holding the paper work
you know what I
literally the seller says I'm
it's between
I'm
the seller
be
and
bank.
The buyer yeah
yeah I'm yeah. gonna be your bank
they
but
paper.
They always have a big chunk of money in the bank
yeah
that the buyer will forfeit if they don't perform
right
so that's that so
well, this was all very interesting. How do we bring this back up to the April Fool's part?
All right, so I was talking to Tom, but like, can I have a quarter?
Yes.
You want to hear the coolest thing ever? When I first moved to New York, I didn't tell Tom this. Oh. I lived in Pat Benatar's old apartment,
whoa.
And I used to get mail for her.
You did?
Yeah.
That's so much fun.
353 Amsterdam. Believe me, it wasn't a glamorous. It was 77th in Amsterdam. It was a one bedroom.
Wow. Yeah.
And she ended up doing our show on Fox. Or whatever that network is, that shall be not named.
Right.
Bill, and she walked in. I said, "Did you ever live at 353 Amsterdam?" And she had this look of like, "Oh my God, you're a stalker."
Yes, sure.
Like, no. I'm like,
Were you wearing leg warmers?
That's so wild.
That's so funny.
She told me this whole story. She shot her first album cover there, and blah 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 blah. And then she said, "Do the next door neighbors still fight all the time?" I'm like, "Yes, they do."
That's wow. So funny. That's funny. Did you ever live anywhere where someone was like famous?
Deborah Harry lived in my building.
Oh, did
so
she?
Did, who was the guy on Law and Order before?
Ka-chong.
Jerry Orbach.
Michael Moriarty.
No.
Is that
Yeah. I have the wrong show. Probably.
And Buster Poindexter.
Oh, I love Buster.
I said Buster Poindexter.
David Johansson. Yeah, I love Buster.
Doesn't he live out here too?
I don't know.
I'm going through puberty.
The weirdest thing, when my stepdad, Tony Walton, moved... Sorry, I'll do that. When he moved into his first New York City apartment, he was getting mail for someone, Tony Walton, but it wasn't for him at all, and he was really confused. He moved into an apartment where the previous tenant had been a woman named Tony Walton.
Oh, wow.
So, because he was like, they're misspelling my name, so
okay,
there
you
go.
You win. That's the best one of the odds.
I know! I always will beat you, Bacardi. So Patrick is always
on the show today.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, a real comedian.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Boo! Get the hook.
Tom is still here.
Okay. I was talking about McCuddy.
Yes,
but
Tom Snedden.
Yeah.
But you know, we're gonna thank Patrick. But we are going to have. Okay, listen. Let me get a word in edgewise, you two. You stop mansplaining
why would this
to me.
Be any different?
I know. But we're gonna have Tom Clavin on next by Zoom call, no less.
Oh yes, you had a chance to talk with him about.
I did. Tom Clavin, our movie. Now listen, most people know Tom Clavin as being a best-selling author. He has like 20 books on the New York Times bestseller list. But when he's here, he's Tom Clavin, the movie maven. He does these funny little movie reviews. And this month, he's talking about movies with April in the title. So can we go to the videotape? Here we go. So you may know him, as the rest of the world does, as world famous author and journalist, Tom Clavin, who's written dozens of books. Ooh. But for us, you're just Tom Clavin, the movie maven.
That's so right.
We love having you on, Tom.
Thank goodness I was born into the Clavin clan, so it would rhyme with maven, you know, 97 years later.
97, but good planning on your part. So grateful. And we're here to talk about April. What are we talking about? April Fool's movies?
Well, I wanted to discuss, or at least give the viewers an opportunity to check out 10, count them, 10. Oh, 10.
Yes, both hands, please.
I could just do this one like this.
I don't like it when you only have one hand that
I'm,
I can.
I'm unidextrous.
Okay.
And that have April in the title. And it's kind of interesting that there's something like 55 movies internationally with April in the title. So I've winnowed it down to 10. And they're all different kinds of movies. I want to start with one that's a personal favorite of mine for a couple of reasons. One is called Pieces of April.
Oh, I know that one. Yeah.
And that's with Katie Holmes. It's a 2003 movie. And it's a very sweet movie. It's got a really good cast with Katie Holmes, Patricia Clarkson, and Oliver Platt, I think, is in there somewhere. And
go wrong with Oliver Platt. I love him just in just about everything.
Yeah. But the other reason I like it, it's written and directed by Peter Hedges. And that may be a familiar name to some people, some of your viewers, because he has a house in Montauk for many years. And he's a very good writer and director. One of my favorite pictures, which I hope people haven't checked out, I wish they would, called Dan in Real Life with Steve Carell.
Yes.
And it's a really good movie. And it's the one I think he made after Pieces of April. So you definitely see the bit of an evolution there. Piece of April is a good movie, and then Dan in Real Life is a terrific movie.
Okay.
Then there's one called Enchanted April, which is a 1991. I think it's a British film. Miranda Richardson, Joan Plowright, and a very young Alfred Molina.
Oh wow!
And so the plot lies a bunch of privileged women, British women, rent a chalet in Italy to talk about their problems.
Right, Enchanted. Well, I remember that one.
Yeah, yeah. I think there was one made back in the 1930s too, but probably better off with the more recent one. Now, here's a picture that few people saw, maybe for the right reason. It's called Sometimes in April. It's a 2005 picture. So it's made, you're talking about 19 years ago, with Idris Elba and Deborah Winger.
Wow. Sometimes in April, it's called?
Yeah, and it's a story about the Rwanda genocide.
Oh, wow. Now,
it got overlooked because what was the Hotel Rwanda with Don Cheadle was the one that got all the attention. But, you know, to see a very young Idris Elba and a fairly young Deborah Winger, but the story is terrific. And it's obviously a very serious one. And again, too bad people missed it because of the other one. Oh, well.
Right.
April Fool's Day is a 1986 cult horror classic.
Wait a minute, you're going to the horror again. You have like a horror movie for every single holiday now. We've had the Thanksgiving, the killer turkeys.
Killer turkeys, Bad Santa. Santa, the Santa horror movies.
That's right. Did we have something for Valentine's Day? I don't know, did we?
I'm sure there is.
I'm
still trying to find a Rosh Hashanah horror movie.
God.
The poison gefilte fish.
I was just going to say something about gefilte fish. But okay, so we've got April Fool's Day. This is a horror movie.
April Fool's Day, 86, college reunion on an isolated island. Again, not a good idea. This is not the Big Chill. It's quite different. Well, a lot bloodier.
The Big Chill.
Now, here's one that I'll Remember April. Nobody might remember this movie. But the title is I'll Remember April, 1998, Haley Joel Osment and Mark Harmon.
That sounds familiar.
It's an interesting picture that I think I and Haley Joel's parents have seen. it's during World War II. It's a small California town, and a group of boys find a stranded Japanese sailor.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. And they try and protect him from being, because they figure he's going to be shot or put in a POW camp. It's got a bit of a Stand By Me vibe.
That sounds really interesting. What is it called again?
It's called I'll Remember April.
Okay.
And how many of your viewers will remember that title? I'll Remember April.
Okay.
A picture that is probably good to watch only because of the uncomfortable pairing of Jack Lemmon and Catherine Deneuve is April Fools.
Oh.
Now, this was made in 1969, so Catherine Deneuve is still new to these shores. She's coming off having worked with Buñuel and Truffaut and some of these other people. And now she's working with like Stuart Rosenbrook or something like that. And
When was Repulsion? That had to be right around then.
right around there. So she was getting a lot of attention. So of course they bring her over to the United States. They pair her with a actor who's like twice her age, who's like having a tough time in his career at that time. So and they play spouses of other people who run away together. They leave the spouse behind and run away. So if you want to watch it, one reason I would give for doing it is it's got a late career appearance by Myrna Loy.
Really?
1969. Yeah. So she was still every so often being talked into making a picture.
And listen, you can't go wrong with Jack Lemmon, as far as I'm concerned. I can't
Well,
believe he's ever
that's
done
true
that.
too.
I
Yeah, he
even love
makes
him
pictures
in.
better. Now here, okay, there's a movie called April Showers with Tom Arnold. That might sound icky.
No. Are you sure it's a movie and not like some strange
It's a home movie.
backstage thing? Okay.
But
Hard.
actually, it's a very unusual. It's a feature about the aftermath of the Columbine shooting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's really quite a sincere movie. It's very serious, but you wouldn't think so by the appearance of its title. And
Yeah.
then one more I have for you, because I know you're losing time here. Got other people to get to. People much more interesting than me,
Oh, never.
which fits every guest on your show.
No.
April in Paris. 1952 classic Hollywood musical, Doris Day and Ray Bolger singing and dancing their way through the City of Lights.
Yeah.
I wonder, I didn't get a chance to research this, was the part really supposed to be Fred Astaire? Because Ray Bolger is like the poor man's Fred Astaire. I know you have a fondness for him. He was the Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz, which your
Yeah.
grandfather produced.
Yes.
But I don't know,
Dark,
Doris Day, Ray
dark.
Bolger. Again,
What?
Ray Bolger, again, you talk about an actor twice the age of the actress. But it is fun. It's April in Paris, and it's one of those perfect classic Hollywood musicals.
Oh, that's great.
So did you count them? Were there 10 movies?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. Was
There were
that 10?
eight.
It went so fast. It felt like much less.
No, there were eight. April Fools.
Okay.
Out of 55 movies with April in the title, I can only find eight to recommend.
Okay, well, that's good. And they're an interesting collection. So,
Start with Pieces of April. It's a really terrific movie. It also would make anybody's list for Thanksgiving movies too, because the plot is she lives, Katie Holmes lives in a small New York City apartment. She's determined to make a Thanksgiving dinner to try and reconnect with her parents, especially her ailing mother.
Thanksgiving in April. What more could
Thanksgiving.
you ask for? April Fool's.
Like that Preston Sturges movie, Christmas in July. Now
That's
there's
right.
a whole separate list to do.
Yes.
Next show.
Holiday movies from the yes, you have to do that.
That
You have to
juxtaposition. Yeah.
do
Okay. I'll
that.
get right to work on it.
Tom Klavan, thank you for your April movies. Always a pleasure. You always have some interesting twist for us, and enjoy the month. And
Thank you, and best wishes to you and Bill.
thanks a lot. We'll see you soon.
I hope so.
Bye.
Bye.
If you're wondering how this is even a show, you could co-produce it because we ask ourselves that every day. Welcome back to, actually, welcome to the staff of Air Hamptons with Bridget and Bill. And no, there are absolutely no benefits, except that I get to sit next to Bridget.
Oh, you can be so sweet when you want to
Yeah,
be.
it's not very often. Hey,
No.
listen, we had Tom Kelly back because he's less annoying as an audience member. As a
As a
guest.
guest.
Going as a guest at an audience member?
Yeah,
But you know
because
what I
he's in the back,
realized, and
like, inciting the other
we
person here.
rebooked him already.
Yes,
We're
look.
excited that you're back because
You're
I
on the
wanted to
show
talk
twice.
about you. Bridget was asking you about the TikTok phenomenon and the practical advice you have for people dating and the things that have blown up. And so what's one of the
Trap
big
question. Listen,
Yeah, tell us
I
about
have
that.
turned being terminally single into a career.
Okay, good.
So don't feel bad for me, but I am 40 something and still single. I just turned 40 about 6 years ago. And the only thing I really want in a relationship now at this point is someone who does not ask trap questions.
Okay, so
I had
what
a
is.
significant other ask me, and we'll put Bill on the spot for this.
Okay.
She asked me, Tom, would you kiss your ex to save my life? Bill, is there a special person in your life right now?
Yes, I'm Mrs.
Okay.
McCuddy.
Yes.
Is Mrs. McCuddy, would you kiss your ex to save Mrs. McCuddy's life?
Of course,
Oh, yeah,
right?
absolutely.
Okay, no, because that means you want to kiss your ex. And you
No,
can't
it
say no
doesn't.
either, Bridget, because then that means you want her to die. It's a trap, Bridget. It's a trap.
I
So
fell
10
right
million
into
people
it.
on TikTok can't be wrong.
Oh,
Yes,
God. Well,
and
actually,
now,
they can.
well, and I went viral on TikTok for the answer.
Okay.
I looked my significant other in the eye, and she says, Tom, would you kiss your ex to save my life? I looked at her and I said, I would break up with you, subsequently making you my ex. Then I would kiss you, saving your life. Then we would get back together and we would live happily ever after in a world where you stop asking me stupid questions.
No, okay, well, until that last part, you almost had me. Yeah. I'm just letting you know. I was like, ooh, that's really attractive.
And then you know what she said?
That's the advice of someone who got very high SAT scores.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, 1600 on the fourth shot.
On the fourth shot.
That was a week ago.
So anyway, that's good. That was a good answer. What's another relationship question?
That I'm not looking. Well, the relationship trap questions is a million of them. Do I look fat in this? Do I not look fat in this? But
what I get
at this point is I'm out there doing stand-up comedy, encouraging people to lower their expectations for a relationship.
Right.
Like, I'm not looking for love anymore.
Okay.
I'm looking for a new emergency contact.
Okay.
I am too old to have my mom down as my emergency contact. Because if there were an actual emergency, I would need a second emergency contact because my mom does not take calls after 7 o'clock at night. My brother was my emergency contact, but his voice mailbox has been full since 2013.
Right.
And my brother is my life insurance beneficiary
he's no good.
So there's no incentive for him to take calls.
Conflict of interest.
He makes money if I die.
Yes, exactly.
So my new emergency contact is the tech support desk at a company I'm working for. And this is my dream, that I will be dying. I will be in the hospital. I will be on life support. The hospital will call the tech support desk and say, we have a man here named Tom Kelly. Things do not look good with him. Tom is dying, and we need your authorization to pull the plug. And then the tech support desk will say, yes, pull the plug. But then wait 30 seconds and plug him back in.
They're going to cycle you.
9 million views on TikTok for that one, NPR.
Wow, that's amazing.
TikTok is not just the sound of your pacemakers, NPR.
Tom Kelly works all over the country. And what I find interesting about your new business model is you do a 45-minute set. You get 15 or 30-second sots out of that sound on tape.
Yeah.
And that blows you up.
Yeah.
And then you get hired to go do the 45 minutes.
Exactly. That's comedy right now, man. It's comedy right now. Bridget, focus.
I'm the professional one here. I'm trying to see how much time you have left.
Folks, for those of you listening to the show, I'm having this great conversation, and suddenly Bridget's like, I see a shiny object.
I'm the one in control here, making sure that we...
Just yell it out. What is that, five seconds?
We have 6 minutes.
Plenty of time.
We have to bump you for Jack Black at some point. Not now.
Oh, Jack Black. Please. The interview was from literally 1992.
Warn the affiliates, we may go over.
All right.
You know, actually, have you ever thought about renaming this show, Wait, Don't Tell Me?
We're still waiting, don't
you? Wait.
Make it look like you're the companion show for something that wants nothing to do with us out here.
That's a trap question.
It is, see?
Yeah, you got us.
But to your point, just like when people are watching comedy, and I'll let you go, guys, host whatever little love fest you're about to host with Jack Black, whatever.
you're not a fan.
Actually, I love him very dearly.
Yeah, he's just a jealous Fox and Sour Grapes kind of a comedian.
Oh,
that's
yeah, please, just because he has more talent.
I have a daughter who's an actress. I speak this language.
Oh, no, I'm not. I don't care anymore. Actually, you know what's funny? I genuinely am that guy who's happy for everybody.
Of course.
And I am genuinely that guy who has no idea who's going to make it. I once told Amy Schumer, she was guest hosting The View when I was doing warm up. I actually asked her out twice before she was famous, at a point where I would have made her sign a prenup for me.
Okay. Wow.
And I looked her in the eye. She had done a great job guest hosting The View with Barbara Walters. And I'm like, Amy, if you clean up your act just a little bit, you could host The View one day, and maybe you'll be a millionaire. And the next year, she made like $18 million.
Yeah, of course.
Her own show.
She was like, thanks, Tom.
I know nothing. And people who I thought would go somewhere, like Bill McCuddy, they're just hiding in the forest here in the Hamptons.
Yes, exactly. With no cell service inside this building.
And bring it back.
I'm basically in witness relocation.
Listen, it's what it felt like after I drove past a casino.
Yeah, instead of The View, this show should be called The Beard. I'm The Beard. I'm just hiding him.
Tom Kelly.
Oh, my God. If
you only knew the triple entendre and what you just
Oh,
said.
I do. Yeah.
Okay. Wait a minute. What?
Or if you're from Chicago, da beard.
Da beard.
No, but this is it. If you guys learned how to take the full tape of this show and cut it into little chunks, you too could be successful in making no extra money as well.
We don't want that. Tom Kelly, thank you. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
Come back anytime.
Yeah, we loved having you.
I mean, I'm still here. Why don't we just keep me?
Because we're trying to get you off. Do you understand? I mean, not in a good way. Wow. Not in a good way.
As I look under the table.
I know.
See, what have I been missing?
Tom Kelly's favorite comic and actor, Jack Black, Kung Fu Panda 4 come out last month. It is streaming this month. And when a roundtable of journalists, myself included, got to sit down and talk to him, we wanted to know, he's back as Po, I should say, in Kung Fu Panda.
Right.
And he likes that specifically because it reminds him of his childhood and because everyone can relate to the panda that he's playing because we're all a little like that panda. Jack?
Po's like a child at heart. And that's my favorite part to play because I've always felt like I'm at my best when I'm having fun and when I'm, you know, joking around like I always did when I was a kid all the way till now. That's always kind of been my secret sauce. And I feel like that's Po's magic too. His love and passion for Kung Fu is like childlike, but it's also super powerful. Po's got an innocence about him that's kind of fun and ridiculous and embarrassing, and people can relate to that because everyone's got a little Po inside of them, a little part of them that doesn't know the right thing to say or do in any situation that feels a little outside of the norm. And you kind of root for him in that way, and I think that's why he connected with so many people.
Childlike and embarrassing kind of describes this show.
It sure does.
And it's easy to hang on to that magic if you don't need health insurance.
Well, this was a great show again,
it was.
Bill.
Viola
Always
Davis,
fun.
By the way, co-stars as the villain in that, and she told us that she's tried to be a villain at home, but it doesn't work. She finally got to play one. Kung Fu Panda is on streaming. Hey, listen, this month at Canoe Place, along with James Lane Post.
Yeah, James Lane Post is one of the sponsors of this show now.
We are getting your kids into college with Jamie Beaton. It is a book called Accepted on April 11th.
Oh, great.
The Candlelight Concert Coldplay on April 13th. And Bonnie Levinson, do you know Bonnie?
No.
From The Moth is
teaching I love
The
Moth.
Power of Telling a Story, April 25th.
And at Canoe Place.
And random people are going to be coached to do A Moth, which is like a TED Talk.
Oh, I love The Moth.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
We're going to have them on this show.
Oh, that's great. Wow. I'm so excited. Yeah. I'm so much more excited about that than I was about Tom Kelly.
Getting your kids into college classes with Lori Loughlin and Becky from Full House.
Okay, well, listen, we've got to wrap it up. Tom Kelly, thank you. Tom Clavin, Jackie Dunphy, Hampton's Who Done It. We had
Turner,
Patrick Milloughlin, Jimmy Turner. Richard and Bill, we'll be back next
Woo!
Month.
Best show ever.
can I go dance with Jimmy?
There's going to be some editing, I think.
If you don't keep that last joke in, I don't respect it.
I'm kidding. Everything stays. Are you kidding?
Here.
In fact,
look at me. Look at me. Tom Kelly.
Could I ask you to take a picture?
Go ahead,
first us. Okay. And could you make it look all stagey?
Yeah, will you take a picture of us with Tom?
Please. I want to make sure I get this for my...
Proceeding has been brought to you by Canoe Place Inn and Cottages. Fine hospitality in Hampton Bays since 1697. More at canoeplace.com.